Good to see everyone this morning. Beautiful Lord's Day that we have together in worship. Zach called me earlier in the week and kind of told me the situation with his family. And he said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to speak Sunday or not. My voice, he said, I don't know how well my voice would hold up. I said, okay. After I got off the phone, I said, well, what's the problem? You know, your voice is not holding up. You just cut it short. And I got thinking, I don't know if Zach can cut a lesson short. Right? No, in all seriousness, his family is under the weather. And need to keep his family all in our prayers. What I want to talk about this morning is the majority. We've come together this morning to worship God through the song that we've just sang, that Lance led us in, and studying from his word. The majority of the people, let's just say in our nation, as far as the United States, do you think the majority of the people have paused this morning on the first day of the week, on the Lord's Day, to worship? There's one time in my life I thought that was probably so. In my younger days, I thought, you know, most people. And we live in what we call the Bible Belt, where we think that, you know, it's more people are closer to the Bible perhaps than in other regions. But if you travel out west much, you have to search for a place to worship, don't you? And when you find one, it may be a very tiny congregation. And you don't know exactly what they're going to teach when you get in there, regardless what the sign says outside. So we're going to talk about the majority this morning. Now, being with the majority is not necessarily wrong, though we're going to look at several examples here in the scriptures where that was the case. The majority of the people were being led astray or going the wrong direction. But that, I'm not trying to put that point across, since the majority is always wrong. For example, you know, I might say that the majority of the people would rather have a nice cheeseburger than a big bowl of spinach. I would think, in my way of thinking, that would be anyway. But we're going to be looking at a lot of things as far as the majority. Even in the animal world, those of you who have worked around cattle, most do not like to be by themselves. You know, they may be out there grazing in a pasture, then all of a sudden they realize that the herd has moved off something. Oh, they come a belter and they got to get back. Then there's always that old boss cow who don't care anyway what the rest of them are doing. She's going to just do her own thing. We were loading out some calves this last Friday, and the cowboys there had put one off the side. They didn't want to ship it out. And it was in a pen by itself. It literally went crazy. So there was 100 and something in the lot right next to it, and it was there by itself, just back and forth. Started slobbering, you know, and all this stuff. It was just beside itself because it could not get with the majority of the animals. You know, this has been an age problem, you know, in the animal world or the people. Go back to the garden, Adam and Eve. You know, half of the people there on the face of the earth took the forbidden fruit. Well, the other half joined them, didn't they? Had to be with the majority there. Remember when you were in school and you had to vote on something? Maybe a teacher asked you, you know, what y'all wanted to do, and ask you to raise your hand, you'd look around, see what everybody else is doing. Because you wanted to raise your hand of what the majority was doing, that's what you wanted to vote for. Back when I was coaching, a lot of times the kids would say, Coach, we're going to stop and eat after the ball game. I said, well, where do you want to stop? We want McDonald's or Burger King. So we'd vote on it. Same thing. They want to look, see what their friends were doing, what their friends want to vote. And sometimes, just out of the blue, I'd ask them that, then I'd go to the ones who only a few of them wanted to go to. And they said, Coach, we voted on that. I said, yeah, but we're not a democracy. This is a dictatorship. We're over here. So So those that never did get their way, we would do that every now and then. In Genesis, God looked at the majority of the people. He looked at his creation and saw that man thought evil of every thought. It grieved the Lord. So he decided to cause a great flood to come upon the earth. Because majority of the people were not following him, had gone astray. Except for Noah and his family, that is 8 souls, we know that all was destroyed there. You wonder about the majority. There when Noah, as we're told in 2 Peter 2 and 5, that he was a preacher of righteousness, when he was constructing this boat, you wonder what they said, what they thought. You know, you're just so crackpot out here building this for a flood, for a rain. It never rained. You wonder what the majority thought. We know that they were in error with this because of the results of it, but they did not listen to Noah, as we're told there in 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness. Majority perished. Because why, Dick? They would not hear. They would not hear the word of God. They would not hear Noah. For those of y'all that were downstairs, Dick had a lesson on hearing a while ago, and he asked us 100 questions about hearing. So I had to throw that in there. But they would not hear Noah and God, and therefore they perished. Another example, the crossing of Israel at the Red Sea. All the majority of the Egyptians, Pharaoh, the horses, the chariots, his army. And yet we know as they crossed the Red Sea that the water came upon them. Exodus 14 and verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, hold your peace. And all of the host of Pharaoh died in the sea. Exodus 14 and verse 30, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Now Israel, majority of here in this particular case, this increased their faith. They were with God, and they were seeking the will of God in this particular case. In verse 31 of Exodus 14, people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord. Another example, in Numbers 13 and 14, the spies sent to Canaan. We know the story. Majority of the spies says, hey, we can't do this. You know, they're giants. We're like grasshoppers in their sights. So the majority said, you know, no go. And what all the people do? They fell in with the majority of the spies, didn't they? So Joshua and Caleb, actually, they wanted to stone them at one point because, you know, Caleb stands up here to the majority of the people. So Joshua and Caleb then and the rest said, hey, we can't do it. But they said it was a good land. It does flow with milk and honey. King James uses the word, but the congregation, in other words, but the majority, as a result of this, wandered in the wilderness 40 years. I appreciate Tommy and his lesson and the work that he put in the last couple of Wednesday evenings, but he gave us some stats on there. And I was kind of like Tommy. I never really pictured the wandering in the wilderness. I was kind of them wandering around, running into trees and all this stuff through the wilderness. But they actually were, as he brought out, camping in areas for maybe around a year at a time before they moved on to another location there. But I appreciate him and all that he did. So that's what I took from his lesson there about the wandering in the wilderness. I really got that. You know, it's funny about little things sometimes. We hear a lesson, the things that we get from it. when Wilson Adams was here, the feeding of the 5,000. And, you know, we've all heard that so many times and studied it so many times, but his first point that he brought there, that's what I got from the meeting, best of all, that Jesus felt compassion, not convenience. If you remember his point that he brought out, that Jesus had just got the news there of John the Baptist and he wanted to go and be by himself. That's really what he wanted to do. But then he felt compassion on this group of people who were tired and were hungry. And so they sat down and of course he performed the miracle there and he fed them. Not his own convenience. A lot of times in our own life we do what's convenient for us and not compassion when we look at other people. So that's the lesson that I got from our meeting to me, the biggest to me. And I appreciate Tommy's comment on the Israel wandering in the wilderness, things that I really hadn't thought about. So the majority did not follow Caleb, Joshua, and they paid for it, didn't they? What about Jesus before Pilate, Matthew 27? You know, they had a custom there to release one. And Pilate thought he found a way out of this, you know. I'll ask the people who they want to release. There was this known prisoner, I believe he was a murderer. He was called Barabbas. And he asked the people, who would you have that I would release? This Jesus or this Barabbas? And they said, Barabbas. That wasn't what he said. Well, what do you want me to do with Jesus then? Y'all remember. Crucify him. Crucify him. The majority of the people said, crucify him. Surely they all didn't think that. Surely there were those there in the number that had heard Jesus speak, had seen some of the things that he had performed. Perhaps it was even there on the hillside when the feeding of him. But yet they said, crucify. The majority said, crucify. If there were those there, they didn't speak out. They didn't let their thoughts be known. Surely there were some who wanted to be a part of this. There's a lot of issues that come up in our day. And a lot of times, man confuses the will of the majority with the will of God. And that's what I'd like for us to think about for a few moments this morning. The will of the majority or the will of God. Last week, the kids were showing up in the state fair. And we were out of chickens and so we went up and stayed Friday night up there. And Pam and I got in the room and, you know, understand, we don't have any live television. We get VCR tapes or DVD or whatever. So when that remote's there, boy, we both go for that remote. And we grab that thing and want to start flipping through those channels just to see there. And one series was on the religious channels, and it still just blows my mind the things you can hear in just a few minutes by flipping through some of these religious channels. One was even for children, and the guy simply asking them to repeat the sinner's prayer at the end of it, and they were saved. Yet we know the sinner's prayer is not in the scripture. But if you would ask the majority of the people in this nation that we live in, I would think the majority would tell you that you could be saved by simply repeating this prayer after an individual. The will of the majority, is it the will of God? Some of the things that I saw there in only a few minutes. And if you flick through some of these stations, for example, women preaching. women preachers. Majority would tell you that's okay today. But what's the Word of God tell us? I suffer not a woman to teach, to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12. But the majority is going to tell us, hey, this was 2,000 years ago, things have changed. In more modern day, this is outdated. It's what the will of the majority might tell us. You know, I'd like to say that as far as women preachers or teachers, that this is limited to some groups outside the Church of Christ, but there's been some movements, what we call team teaching. I don't know that it's happened in the worship setting like we are now, but far as class for Bible studies, there have been congregations where a man and a woman will share the class. They will both be teachers there. And been questioned about this. And their response, well, it's under the direction of the elders. Now, the elders do not have any authority to give a woman to teach over a situation such as this. Now, on their own far as teaching and going out and talking to neighbors and this sort of thing, yes, we're all to teach and to carry the gospel. But when we come together as a church, that is not the case. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 concerning this. And thinking as we read again the scripture, are we looking at the will of the majority or are we looking at the will of God? 1 Corinthians 14, beginning in verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted to them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also under the law. And if they learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shame for a woman to speak in church. What, came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you? And continues on there with that thought. One more verse. If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you that are the commandments of the Lord. It's not man that came up with this, but the Word of God in leadership roles of the church, leading in singing, prayer, or teaching. The woman is not to have the authority over a man, according to the scriptures. Majority does not want to acknowledge this commandment of the Lord. The majority does not want to hear this commandment of the Lord. Another issue that I like to bring up, perhaps most of the times which I have a lesson, I will bring this up because I believe it's such a serious problem in Christianity today, a serious problem within the church today, and that will be the issue of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Are we following the will of the majority? Are we following the will of God? We'll go to Matthew chapter 5, but beginning this thought. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Am I following the majority or am I following the will of God? We'll look at the words of Jesus, Matthew 5 and verse 32. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her, that is divorced, committeth adultery. Now let's go and hear the same scripture in Matthew 19, the words of Jesus speaking again on another occasion. Matthew 19, begin reading in verse 3 through 9. Matthew 19, 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto him, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and cleave to his wife, and they shall twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. They said unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her which he put away, doeth commit adultery. So far as marriage and divorce and remarriage, if individuals are married, the only way they can marry another, their spouse passes away, their spouse commits fornication, adultery, then that's the only means. That's it. That's all we can find in the scriptures. But the majority said, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to enjoy your life. God is going to overlook this. God will accept you. God will forgive you. That's what the majority has us to believe. So when it comes to these biblical issues that are tough, it is hard. Do we follow the will of the majority? Do we follow the will of God? If we're silent on this issue, we're just like the folks there that when Pilate wanted to release Jesus and condemn Barabbas, but yet the people said, no, release Barabbas, crucify him. There had to be there those present which did not want to crucify Jesus, but they were silent. We cannot confuse the will of the majority with the will of God. You know, there are many people out there which are legit. They are confused. They hear so many things. But yet, on the other hand, there's so many don't want to hear. Don't want to understand. But to remarry under any other circumstances is not a scriptural marriage. Majority do not want to hear this. Well, what did Jesus say about this majority thing? I brought up majority here. The majority of the people is not necessarily the will of God. What did Jesus say about going along with the majority? Let's go to Matthew 7 now. Very familiar scriptures. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therefore. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said there's a wide, broad way that leads to destruction, that many are going down. A small, narrow leads to life, that few find. I wished I'd put down the speaker at one of the meetings we've had here. I had it jotted down in my notes here, down at the bottom of the page of my Bible. If you're going down that wide, broad way, and some of y'all heard the speaker, and I wish I could remember who it was. He said there's there's plenty of room in that wide way to make a U-turn and come around and back and get going in the right direction. So if my life has been down that wide road, that wide path with the majority, there's room to turn around. You're going down that narrow, that straight path that leads to eternity in heaven. Another issue I want to look at is the majority in salvation. A few minutes I spent flicking through those stations the other day, I come across the faith only there. Faith only and the sinner's prayer, that was all there in a few minutes that I was on it. And we could spend some time on this. But again, when you hear some of these things, ask yourselves, is this the will of God? Is this the word of God? Or is this majority of the people that's speaking out? James said, faith without works is dead. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, we're right there at it, let's just go ahead and read that. Matthew 7, 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And I will confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The will of the majority, the will of God, can be two different things when it comes to God's plan of salvation. We must look at the scripture. Another thought that's out there is this universal salvation, that God's going to save everyone, regardless of their thoughts or their belief, that God being a God of love, again, this universal salvation, the majority would have us to believe that God will not punish anyone, but will save all of his creation. Scripture does not teach this. In the scripture that we read already in 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, God spared not the old world, because the majority of the people had left God, all but eight souls here, and they were destroyed. Again, there are a lot of people that, in the majority out here, that are confused because they had let man's will, man's thoughts overshadow God's. Or is it that they just don't care and want to do it their way, or they're not listening? If most people say it's okay, it's probably not. If most people say this is the way to be saved, it's probably not. If most people say, come follow us and you'll experience the love of God, you'll have an experience. But just as God is a God of love, Scripture tells us he's a God of wrath. He expects us to follow his word and his will. Jesus said, the gate is small, the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those that find it. The way to destruction is wide and broad, and many are theirs. We cannot afford to confuse the will of the majority with the will of God. And like Jesus said here, talking about the two roads or two paths, one, it is very wide, the one the majority is going down. And if you've been going along with the majority, like we mentioned, you can turn around. You can turn around and go down that narrow, that straight path that leads to eternity in heaven. The majority did not reach the promised land because they did not follow the will of God. I know that we all want to reach the promised land. We all want to spend eternity in heaven with our Father and with our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, as I made the statement earlier, the majority is not always wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of times when it comes to scriptural things, when it comes to the plan of salvation, when it comes to the Lord's church, when it comes to being faithful followers of Jesus Christ, it just appears as we look around us that that's not where the majority is at today. And the majority have not paused this morning to come together to worship, to remember our Lord and the Lord's Supper as we'll be doing here in a few moments. So being with the majority is not necessarily a good thing. We're going to extend the Lord's invitation. If there's one here this morning who has never accepted Christ, that you've never confessed Jesus as Lord, repented, been baptized for remission of your sins, that you'll have the opportunity to do so. Or if you've been going down that wrong road and kind of going along with the flow, going with the majority of the people, and you want to turn around and get going in the right direction, we would all like to help you and assist you and pray for you if that would be the case. If there's any way at all that we could assist anyone, will you come as we stand and sing this hymn of invitation?
And can